around, the world is mine.
Oh, good morning. You're listening to Knoxville's Morning News here at the FMT Insurance Studios, Talk Radio 92.3 FM, AM 760. We have a special guest this morning right off the bat. We want to appreciate Dr. Quanta Ahmed for calling in this morning and allowing us the opportunity to interview her. Dr. Ahmed is among the many hats you wear. You're actually a board-certified physician in sleep disorders, and then also you're an author and a commentator. And what I had wanted to talk to you about this morning was we had a story a couple days ago about possibly the Trump's administration, the Education Department. There was a concern about some of the programs that were being instituted in the University of North Carolina and then also Duke University that related to Islamic studies. And I just wanted to get your perspective on that. And I know that some people felt like that that could be considered Islamophobic. And I just wanted to hear from someone who's really educated and knowledgeable on this subject and get your opinion. So how are you this morning?
Thank you, Elaine. Very excited to speak to your radio audience in Knoxville. Good morning from New York.
We're excited to talk to you, too, believe me.
What has been portrayed as the Trump administration, again, criticizing some aspects of Muslims, is really a distortion. Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos has been very concerned when a politician, a congressperson, from the area of the Duke-UNC consortium, was informed that there was some virulently anti-Semitic content present in some of the educational programs hosted by their Middle East Studies program. That's not the same as Islamic studies.
Okay.
And so their observations were that in these educational programs, they were hosting some blatantly anti-Semitic content, very hostile, rap artists singing demonized ideas about Jewish people, but also the emphasis on the program in Middle Eastern studies. And remember, the Middle East is the cradle of all religions, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, seem to be disproportionately favoring positive stories about Islam. Now, I'm speaking to you as an observing Muslim, very committed to my religion, and very aware of the incredible Islamic history, civilization, architecture, art that is my family's heritage. But if we look at the goals of the Middle East program, and specifically not just the goals of the program, but the Department of Education's federal grant using taxpayer dollars to these educational programs, then there were certainly valid concerns. So there's two kinds of concerns. Middle East programs in the United States generally shy away from the most pressing problems challenging the Middle East now. And what are those pressing problems? The rise of Islamism, which is the political totalitarian imposter of Islam. What is Islamism? The mothership is the Muslim Brotherhood. All ideas that spawn off there fuel movements like Hezbollah, Hamas, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS. This is all Islamism. And if the Middle East programs, and this grant particularly, had goals of enhancing the education for future national security officials, future career diplomats, then the program did not seem to meet those goals. So that's one problem. The second problem is the rise and the endemic nature of anti-Semitic ideas, content, ideology inside academic programs in the United States, where we also see that in the Middle East. Studies programs, including the one that Secretary DeVos has targeted. So this is why the administration is rightly challenging the use of public money.
Now, one of the things that I thought was really important, too, about that was you had kind of the conversation obviously has been taken over about the Trump administration and impeachment. But we had a president this week stand before the UN and the globe and really promote religious freedom for the world. And
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Elaine, and I'm sorry to jump in, but no. I watched that speech. And it is very important for listeners to understand that this administration, more than any other prior administration, has made as its mantle defending religious freedom. Now, that means the defense of religious freedom of Muslims like me, both here in the United States and in the Middle East, who are reject and repudiate the versions of Islam that the Muslim Brotherhood would promote, or ISIS claims, or Al-Qaeda claims. So Muslims like me, who are pluralist, who are anti-Islamist, are also persecuted. Now, it's very interesting. I was reading a little bit about Knoxville before I began speaking to you. And did you know that Tennessee is the home to the largest population of Kurdish people in the United States? 25% of all Kurds live in Tennessee, in your neighboring city of Nashville. Now, if you want to understand the misery that Islamism inflicts, talk to a Kurd amongst the most persecuted people in the world, utterly stateless and demonized because they are liberal, they promote women's rights, they believe in rejecting radical Islam, and they are being slain for it. Just as Christians, who are the most persecuted religious group in the world, of all groups that are persecuted, Christians are most often persecuted in more countries, more lethally than any other group, not only in the Middle East, where there's a very big problem with persecution and eradication of Christian communities, but also in Asia, China, and North Korea, who are the number one persecutors of religion. So this president truly upholds a core American value. Remember that the United States rests its independence from Britain on the basis of religious freedom. So this is it's very important, and these policies are long overdue. The reason I'm also very happy to see this development is Middle Eastern programs, because they are afraid of being criticized as somehow being anti-Muslim or Islamophobic, stay away from the issues of Islamism, do not want to study this political ideology because they think that this is going to somehow offend or demonize Muslims, when we are dying and losing our lives to Islamism all around the Muslim majority world. And more vulnerable communities, even than the Muslims, are the minority population. I was just in Iraq a couple of months ago, and I particularly requested to visit a Christian community inside Iraq called Karakush. And Karakush is in northern Iraq, but it is now under the control of Iranian paramilitary forces, Hashd al-Shaabi. They are extremely aggressive. The local population find them to be as bad, if not worse, than ISIS in terms of their intimidation, their asking for protection money, terrorizing Christian people. I visited Christians who were marrying in a church that was still with destroyed icons. They had beheaded the statues of the Virgin Mary and of the Holy Jesus. They had destroyed the bell tower, and I visited that church and spent time with Christians there. This persecution is ongoing in the name of Islamism. In our country's best universities, in our Middle East programs, that should be the prime focus, not some rap artist spewing anti-Semitic content just because this is in vogue with the current anti-Zionism and demonization of Israel that passes for some form of academic commentary.
All right, we've got a minute before we have to go to break. Are you able to stay through the break with us? And
I may be, yes.
Okay. I know, yes, that you've got patience. I really do appreciate your time. All right. Just kind of when we come back from break, I'd like to further this conversation some more and just get your impressions about some of the other issues with regard to how the BDS movement, yes, is really being pushed in our in the House. By some of the, I guess, the squad is the best way to put those House members. And I wanted to get your impressions about that. All right. So I appreciate you holding for us. We'll be right back. We're listening to Knoxville's Morning News. You're back here with us at the FMT Insurance Studios, Knoxville's Morning News, Talk Radio 92.3 FM, AM 760. My name's Elaine Davis, and we're here with Daniel Herrera, and we have a special guest on the line with us. Thank you, Dr. Quanta Ahmed, for staying through the break for us. I did want to just kind of talk to you briefly, because I know you have to go, so I really appreciate your time. I did want to ask you about the BDS movement in kind of the House of Representatives and how it's being promoted by the squad, and that they're continuing to say that that Israel exists to the detriment of Palestine.
Yes. So what you're seeing in the House is a commonly held view, both on the left, but also embraced by Islamists. So the views that the squad, particularly Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib and Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, are archetypal Islamist left views of Israel. This is patent anti-Semitism. They try to couch it as political or foreign policy critique, but it is the demonization of Israel, it is the delegitimization of the existence of Israel, and it is the denial of the reality of Israel. The best example is Omar's attempted congressional delegation to Palestine. That she didn't say to the disputed territories, or she didn't say to Israel. She used the word Palestine as a denial of the existence of Israel, and she planned to meet unofficial aegis of BDS activists. BDS is Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement, a movement which has been around for about a decade, which seeks to economically and culturally and academically render Israel a pariah. Now, as a Muslim, we know in the Quran that the Jewish people are a nation unto God, and the Jewish people are promised the Holy Land. In the Quran, it is recorded. We recognize as Muslims their prophet, their book. We cannot be Muslim unless we accept the prophet Moses and the Torah, just as we must accept Jesus and the gospel. That is required for Islamic belief. But this ideology that's now penetrated the Congress, to connect it to our earlier thoughts, is rampant in American universities. Because what happens is the left or an uneducated student coming in has been fed propaganda that groups like Hamas and Hezbollah, Hamas in particular, are somehow liberation resistance fighters for the Palestinian people, when in fact they exploit the Palestinian people, they use the Palestinian people as human shields. They actually have repressed and contracted religious freedom in Gaza under Hamas rule. If you go to Israel, which is falsely portrayed as an apartheid state, which is absolutely false, I have met with religious minority Muslim communities in Israel that can build their own mosques, spread their own religious beliefs. The state takes care not only of the people in life, but even of their cemeteries. So this propaganda about Israel is extremely rampant on academic campuses and has penetrated the halls of Congress. Not only has it penetrated the halls of Congress, they've actually passed a resolution. After this Congresswoman Ilhan Omar expressed so much anti-Semitism, there was rightfully an uproar, and there was an attempt to pass a resolution denouncing any forms of anti-Semitism. Her coterie or her supporters distorted that resolution and included all other forms of hate, which did nothing but trivialize anti-Semitism as an offense. So we want to understand, every listener must understand, anti-Semitism is a core renunciation of our universal values, that we recognize all human beings as legitimate, the right to a religion absolutely legitimate, not only as Americans, but as a core universal value the world adopted after the atrocity of the Holocaust. We also need to understand Israel not only has a legal right to exist, which was decided in the United Nations by the voting nations, by the world, but it also has a sovereign and religious right to exist, not only by the Jewish religion, but also by the Islamic religion. So this propaganda that is promoted by BDS, these people who say, oh, we just want to enhance the rights of the Palestinians, they're actually calling for the demographic eradication and the delegitimization and the execution of the Israeli state as a form of some kind of human rights advancement. If we imagine, God forbid, that they actually succeed, the number one victims of this movement are going to be Palestinians. I have worked, and I'm a representative of Israeli universities, where Muslims and Jews, Israelis and Arabs, work together and rise together. Often we have Israeli Arabs of Palestinian origin, Muslims and Christians, who are superior and rising in divisions and sections above Israeli Jews because of the meritocracy embraced in Israel. So what's so devastating, Elaine, is that our Congress has not taken a very vigorous stance against it. And as a Muslim woman in America who might one day want to have political ambitions herself, it is appalling to see that the first Muslim women elected in Congress are pushing this agenda. It's a disgrace to the United States, and it's a disgrace to me as a Muslim.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. I'm going to have to listen to this interview over and over again, because what's so important is that you're right. We come into our colleges uneducated and uninformed. And so so many here are not aware of a lot of the tenets of the Quran. And so it's I'm so grateful to you for just educating us as to that perspective and really giving us a viewpoint that is reasoned and rational and really recognizes, like you said, that universal value that we all share, that we are all important, that we all have intrinsic rights as a human being that are given to us by our Lord and God. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you talking to us, and hopefully we'll be able to reach out to you again and speak to you sometime soon as well.
Elaine, it was an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to our next conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day. You're listening here to Knoxville's Morning News at the